So my friend Kelly sent me a text the other day that I think was really funny and you would probably relate to. It was about how we plan to conquer the summer together while both of our boys' preschools and Mother's Day out options, well, they're no longer options for the summertime. Listen, I am all about creating fun summertime memories, but the morning coffee date with friends, the opportunity to clean up the house while the boys were in school, and getting some work deadlines met are now a little bit more challenging. But I have found us all a solution. There is an incredible app called Wendy that connects families and college student nannies. They are background checked, interviewed, and the sweetest. Not only are you able to meet your childcare needs, but you could also help those college students that are looking for summer jobs. There's options for part-time help and full-time help. Whatever your childcare needs are, Wendy has a match for all of them this summer. All you have to do is go to wendy.com/realtalk to start a search for a nanny. And as a special offer, they are going to knock $50 off your search if you go through that link. Wendy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies, and there's no ongoing fees. So here's how it works. Go to wendy.com/realtalk to start your search. A Wendy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. Then you choose the one you like. Get started now, though, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summertime, just like you and I. Go to wyndy.com/realtalk right now to start your search. Welcome to Real Talk with Rachel Autry, where I invite you to join me to delight in life and find joy right where we are, which is easy to do today because today I have on Erica Campbell, and you are such a good celebrator. You have all the things going on, especially with Be a Heart, which is a really fun online store with home decor, things for the kiddos, puzzles, band-aids, like all the things that just make life more fun. And so I'm so excited to jump in. Our friends listening today, I know that they're going to walk away with things that they can apply right now. They're going to walk away with moments that'll make them go, oh yeah, me too. All from just two girls that are just trying to figure out life right beside them. So Erica, thanks for joining me today and helping me cut the fluff for some real talk. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, tell me where you are. Give context as to like what your days look like right now. You said you dropped your girls off at school. Same.
Yes. So,
wait, except for boys. I have two boys.
You have boys.
But yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are in Phoenix, Arizona. We just moved here from San Antonio this summer. So we were, my husband and I were counting, like, we've only been here for 5 months. It feels like it's been like 2 years within this time.
Yes.
And our girls are in Montessori school. So my 1-year-old goes for the morning. So then I go pick her up, come back for nap. And then we go get my older daughter from school, you know, around 3.
That's so good. That's so fun. What a hustle of a life. I feel like every time I tell people I have a 2.5-year-old and basically we're the same. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. I just need to start saying that. And actually, by the time this episode comes out, probably it will be true. But we're closer to 3 and 1 than we are to a newborn. And it is a hustle. Are y'all still like, I mean, you're probably maybe out of diapers in one of them. I don't know. But like,
yeah, we're
two
out of
diapers, two cribs.
We are out of diapers. We did move when we moved. My older daughter really wanted a bunk bed. Like, she really wanted a bunk bed. So I was like, hey,
that's
we're moving.
So precious.
Like, this is going to be really exciting. You get a bunk bed.
And this is your moment.
So stoked about it. And she slept in it for a while. And then a couple months ago, she like went into a panic and was like, I need my old bed. Like, where's my old bed? And we realized with the move, that's a lot. Like, it's a huge change for a little person. And so now we have a bunk bed and her like toddler bed in her room. And then the baby is still in her crib. And my 3-year-old was like, oh, it's okay. Luce can have my bunk bed. I was like, yeah, I think she's like still a little too small. Like, I know you don't
good
want
idea,
it.
Sis.
Yeah. Like, she's like already passing it on. So,
so sweet.
Yeah. But it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of emotions. All the time.
All the time. All the emotions, especially with girls. I feel like your emotions and I'm all body slams.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I
watch. It's aggression, but not because we're angry. Sometimes, most of the time, it's just like the energy, like the testosterone, like it's here.
Yeah,
and then like, I gotta push somebody.
And you don't, you don't really, you think like, oh no, they're the same, and like they just aren't. They just are not. the same.
No, it's not. And something that I love to do in our home and you love to do in your home too is celebrate things big.
Yeah.
Like we love to be the party people with, we always have a reason to party. I think my friends make fun of me because I don't know. I just love to gather people, get them in my home. So I am the girl that's kind of Pinteresty that like makes the invitation for the outdoor movie night. And I will text it to you or even in the mail snail mail, because why not? You know, we love a party. Or, for when we're recording this, it's Christmas season. So like the sweater parties, the like favorites thing, all things is so fun. But it's not the end of the story. And so I think it's so cool as believers to be able, we always have a reason to celebrate. There's always a reason to throw a party, especially around the church calendar, which I kind of want to bring up because I feel like this idea, right? I don't know. I feel like if I talk to my friends about church calendar either, there's an illiteracy around it. Like they're not sure what it is or how to approach it. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it's written off. They're like, that is so Orthodox. Like, it's too religious. Or people embrace it. And you obviously embrace it, which I adore. And I'm obsessed with the way that you embrace it, all the things. So can we just crack this open? Like, let's just start the conversation of, first off, what is the Christian calendar? Like, what are the church seasons? What does that look like?
Right. So we have, you know, when I grew up, we grew up in a home that we lived our faith life and we celebrated things, but it was basically like just looking at Advent and then you have Christmas and then you have Lent and then you have Easter as a day. And that's kind of it, which those are the big, that basically is the calendar and you ebb and flow, within it, but it has like all of these little nuances of, the story of Christ. So like, we don't just have Easter. We don't just have Christmas, but there are these different, like touchstone points that help us really live our life. And so as I was, you know, coming into adulthood and I saw a lot of families around me, big, big Christian families living this and living those rhythms. And so I always say like, I'm not an expert. I really am just somewhat like, just like a regular person who like, I don't even, my memory bank is very small. So like, I don't even know all the things. I'm like, it is that one, it's that, you know, I kind of have to go with it. But I noticed in having kids, like my daughter, she wants to celebrate everything. Birthdays, like, I don't know about your kids, but we talk about whose birthday is next? When is it going to be? When is it going to be her birthday? How old is she going to be? And it's like a topic of conversation every single day. And so we have a lot of reasons to celebrate and getting to kind of like lean into, as you say, like that joy of every day. And I think, you know, I've been thinking a lot about it as we've all noticed, like we all went from Halloween and we're basically at Christmas within like the Instagram world and like around us, you know, and
I'm
like finding myself to be a little stressed about that. But I was like, why is it like, why everyone was so into Halloween? Like people are, it feels like to me, everyone is so into Halloween and then we're jumping like really into Christmas things. And I think it's that there's a certain joy and a certain like excitement that comes from celebrating things. And so when we look at the church calendar, it has so many days in between to celebrate. And if we can lean into it, we can recognize that there is joy to be had within it all. But then the other thing, like, as you know, I have this book that is about all of the different days to celebrate in a year. And it's not all like joy based, right? And I don't think that life is like that either. Mm-hmm. And one thing I noticed, like in growing up, I wanted to always be happy. And when something wasn't happy, or like I got broken up with, or all my friends were dating and I wasn't, or they're getting married and I'm not, or they got that job and I didn't. And I really resisted the suffering parts of life. And I thought they weren't supposed to come because I thought like, if I'm just following God, then I'm going to be happy. And to realize as you delve into this, like that's not really how life is. And the church calendar, it's like not imposed on us outside of who we are as humans, but it really teaches us how to flow. Like the hope that we feel in Advent, it's like the anticipation, and then there is Christmas. And then we go into Lent, and it's this time of quiet desolation and suffering.
Yes. Yes.
And that gives way to joy. But like, you can't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. And I think we can't miss that. Like, God is within all of it. And so, yeah, this is a very long-winded not saying in one.
I love it.
But like, there is so much if we can really like open our eyes to that, to all of the little things that like build a story. It's not just the big like Christmas, and we don't have to only live at Christmas. Like, what does it mean to live Advent in hope and like anticipation? Mm-hmm. Those are real emotions that we have, and they're to be celebrated too.
So good. This idea, this new concept, new to me concept that I think I've always had like feelings for, but I finally have the words for, thanks to a beautiful message that I'll link in our show notes, is this idea of fast faith. Like, so many of us just like, we want the quick. I'm like, give me the Devo, give me the real, give me the quote, give me the whatever, the daily Bible verse. Like, I'll get by, when in reality, this is something to be mulled that is so rich that we can understand. Thank God. Because of scripture and calendar, like the calendar we're talking about now, to be able to understand it to a place where we cannot avoid it. It cannot not do a work within our heart because we understand it, because we get the grasp, and it's not brief. It's mm-hmm. intense. Mm-hmm. And so we can choose fast faith. Oftentimes it's addicting and it's easy and it's what gets us by. But what does a life look like if we lean in and understand why we celebrate what we celebrate and the leading up to? And the resurrection has more power when you understand the death. And like, the birth of Jesus has more power if you understand the hope of hundreds of thousands of years before people just waiting for the Messiah. Like, it is a beautiful concept that I think sometimes we're often around these seasons so distracted that we don't see it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And so your book almost calls to attention, like, hello, this is what it is. These are ways to lean in. Here's how to celebrate. And what are we celebrating? Which honestly, like, I need a roadmap for. So thank you for creating us a roadmap.
Yeah. I mean, I need it too. Like, I need to pull it out because I can't remember. And we, as moms and as women, there's just a lot going on, and it's so easy to miss so many things. And I think that that's the other thing, at least in my, you know, in the world that I live within, you know, on Instagram, I think so many of us, like, we just live there in Instagram because we are mothering alone and all of these things. And I see this, over the years, I've seen like a pressure or a expectation of living a certain way of like, I have to do all of these things, or it has to look like this Pinterest way, or it has to be like this intense thing. And it's like, well, if you take the meaning out from it, if you're not really like, it doesn't need to be anything, and you don't have to do them all. Like, there's almost a feast day like every day. And so it's like, you don't have to do all the things. You just like, what is speaking to you? What is calling to you? What are the things that you want to live in your own life and pass on to your kids? And that might be different what you choose this year than you choose in another year. And I really have been having to lean into the idea of seasons. Like, there really is a season for everything. And right now, as a mom of a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, I'm having to let go of a lot of things, and it's just not the season for it. And to recognize, what is God calling me to in this season that is really hectic and crazy and overwhelming and a lot to deal with? And like, how do I, you know, how do I stay true to that instead of trying to keep up with everyone around me, you know, or these things that I could do in a different season of my life? You know, like, oh, but I did do that. It's like, well, right now there's just, that's not working.
I do feel like moms fall into one of two camps. They either are the Pinterest hustle, really cute, and I admire you. I'm not shaming you. And most days I like to think I am you.
Yeah.
Like there's that boat of people who like get to the end of trying so hard, making the thing work, doing the Pinterest activity that they're like, ooh, exhausted. And maybe the point was missed within all the glitter in the construction paper. Then you have another group of people who I feel like are maybe anti-Pinterest moms, where they look at the Pinterest moms and are like, that's so weird, or like, whatever, wasting your time, or who are you trying to impress, to the point where like they don't even lean in maybe at all. And like, or they get to the end of their season and maybe they, I don't know, let's concrete example this, like Christmas, right? They have all these ideas for the things they want to do with their kids, but they were having too much of a head game that they never leaned in, and they get to the end of the season and they think, oh, I missed it. I really wanted to do that, but I forgot, or things got crazy and I just, you know, didn't make this a priority. And both are really hard places to be because you're dealing with shame, which is such a mom thing. You're dealing with the responsibility, the weight of what it looks like to carry that. But then also sometimes you feel like you're trying to build something from scratch, when in reality, we need to rest in the fact that this was already created, and all we might have to do is throw a birthday candle and a muffin and be like, it's blah, blah, blah. And so something I love about your book, we keep talking about it, but I want to throw the title out there because I know people are like on the edge of their seats. Like, what is this book? Living the Seasons, Simple Ways to Celebrate the Beauty of Your Faith Throughout the Year. And is that simple ways? Can you, at the top of your head, give us like maybe one or two of these simple ways that you're doing right now, or that you love, your girls love?
I will say like some of the things are really simple. Some of them, people are like, I'm never going to do that. I'm like, it's okay. I really wanted to create things that were for everyone. Like, and I think as you were saying that, one thing I was thinking about is really leaning into who you are as a person instead of trying to be like who someone else. So you and I enjoy doing Pinteresty type things. You know, my husband, he is not the party planner kind of person like I am. Yeah. And he has to kind of go through a lot. But I don't like cooking. I don't enjoy being in the kitchen. And so I think it's like really looking at what, instead of trying to do something we don't enjoy, like how can you lean into what you do enjoy? Because you want it to give you life too. Like, it's not just like another to-do list. And for me,
that's
like,
so good.
You know, making my kids shark costume that she had to wear for school out of a cardboard box and painted the night before because I'm late brought me joy, even though it was last minute. And, you know, that is something for me that too, like, gives me life. And so some of, you know, there's a lot of, well, we were talking about birthdays. There's a lot of birthdays that celebrate in it. So like you've got like Mary's birthday, all of the things, even Jesus's birthday. So we do a lot of cakes, like a lot of last minute cakes, and the kids get to make the decorations and we put them up and we sing happy birthday and everyone is so stoked. Coming up is St. Nick's feast day, which, a lot of people don't know, but it obviously is what leads to this idea of Santa. And one of my favorite things, so, well, a lot of people like to make the orange garlands for Christmas.
Yes.
And I do too. And so through the book, through the Advent season, there's a lot of different days. Like you have St. Lucy's. So each of those is to add something to your house for, as you're decorating for Christmas, like through this time. So for St. Nick's, oranges became a way of a symbol of for St. Nicholas, because they were like this expensive fruit that only wealthy people could buy, and they're juicy.
Wow.
And so St. Nick, he was a wealthy man. He didn't want people to know that he was the one giving money. So it was these families in need, and he started throwing coins into the chimneys when he knew that a family needed money, and then they would have the money to, you know, get the medical care or eat or whatever. And then it became, that people gave oranges in stockings, as a way to represent the gold coins from St. Nicholas.
So cool.
And then when you think about an orange, this was like, I learned a lot in the writing of this book, with my friend Augusta. So
cool. That's always what happens.
Right. Yeah. Like you have to figure all these things out. When you think about an orange, when you open the orange, it's already cut into pieces. And so it's a really shareable fruit. So this idea of Saint Nick being generous and sharing what he had with others. And so even just eating oranges is a great way to celebrate this feast day. Kids get to put out their shoes. As moms, we get to, you know, it's December 6th. So you're in the middle of Advent. You get to give, I know a lot of moms do books. And then the candy cane, in the shape of, candy cane shape, like a staff. And so you can give candy canes. And then, I suggest in the book, and it's a fun activity for moms to make the orange garlands to hang around your home. They smell really good. You can look up instructions online on Pinterest. And then the oranges are a reminder of the season that we are generous to other people and like how we care for them. And so it's little things like that, that we get to, you know, it's like a different way to share a message with our kids about yes. these things that are, leading us to Christmas mm-hmm. and like what the whole season is about.
That's right.
And then like for St. Lucie is, I think nobody quote me on this, but falls on winter solstice. So it's the darkest day of what is the winter solstice? Darkest day of
That's
the year.
That's a great question. I'm like,
it's like the darkest. I think it's the darkest day, but nobody quote me. And so then, you know, you can light candles in your house and, don't use electricity that day and kind of lean mm-hmm. into these little things where you get to talk about how, the light of Christ comes to light the darkness. So little things like that, that make it feel really special that you can talk about Christ, you know, every day, of Advent leading up to this day of Christmas. And then yes. to recognize that, in the church calendar, Christmas is the first day, like the 25th is the first day of Christmas. So instead of the 12 days of Christmas that come before, as you'll see a lot of like retail shops do like 12 days of Christmas, it's really the 12 days after the first day of Christmas. So you can, last year, what I did with my daughter is, I gave her a little gift every day of Christmas from the 25th on until Epiphany. And you don't have that crash, like the Christmas crash of, oh my gosh, there's nothing left, because there's so much more. It's just the beginning, you know, when Christ.
That's so good. Yes. I like this so much because, oh gosh, my brain is like, pew, pew, pew. I'm so obsessed. Number one, this is so cool for kids because I'm learning like cerebrally, like they don't have the brain capacity to understand spiritual ideas like we do. And right. sometimes they do understand spiritual ideas that we could never, because they are a child. Like Jesus loves and can meet children exactly where they are, which is so cool about the simple gospel. But I love this because it helps me as a mom start conversations, plant seeds that are important for conversations to build each year. It's not just like all of a sudden I'm trying to have this conversation about the gospel, like right. one day randomly. And do you right. want to be saved? Okay. Yeah. Let's pray. Like this right. is a seed planting, like tilling the soil, getting their brains turning to this idea that the world would call crazy, but they're only going right. to know it to be true. And like, this is how my home operates. But if right. you only pick up the holidays as they're written on a normal worldly calendar, it is going to be hard for them to not feel the clunkiness of faith, when in reality, it is a moving, breathing, living thing in us, in our rhythms and home. So I love that. Number two, my brain is so excited because it's the moments that I try to teach Maddox and Oliver, my sons, something, I almost enter this new level for myself, because explaining the gospel in simple terms ignites right. a light in my own brain. I'm like, oh, I have never thought of that before. So like the Holy Spirit will totally move through me sometimes. And like, I'll use kneading bread, I don't know, to like mention something. And I'm like, I've never thought of it like that before. That's super cool, you know? So these rhythms are, I think, so good for us as moms. It's not just performance driven. I think it's like a desire driven. You want to understand what's happening in the kingdom, that your kids are curious and asking questions. This just gives you answers. And I want to speak to the person listening that's like, this is so childish. Like, we need to grow up, you know, we need to like leave what's childlike behind, like mature faith. And Tim Keller said something one time. It was like, we're called to leave childlike faith. Or no, sorry. I'm so going to butcher this. I'm going to leave it in the show notes because I don't think I'm going to do it justice. But I'll try to like, you know, I'll summarize it. Basically, he said, yes, we are supposed to mature and leave like childish things behind and claim childlike faith. But being a part of a childlike faith also means leaving behind the fear of foolishness or being seen as a child. So sometimes choosing childlike faith is also being mature enough to get down on a child's level and to just do it like a kid.
Right.
So I just want to say, like, this isn't in vain and it's going to count. Whatever shot you give it, whether it's a candle and a muffin or you're out there, like one of the things in your book is so fun. It's throwing Mary a baby shower, like whatever it is, like either side of the spectrum.
And it's so fun and people love it. But if it's not your thing, then you don't have to do it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I would love for this to be an overflow for people, not just like, I got to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe, and I'm sure you would agree, God will use anything we give him to make it worth it and make it count. Yeah. Like his word were never returns void is what we're told and we can believe. So even if we give it 1%, he'll give us the rest of the none. He's like, thank you for showing up. You know, thank you for starting a conversation. I'll do the rest. I got it from here. So I just wanted to relieve someone from pressure.
Kids surprise you. In so many ways. And I think that it, like you're saying, they really understand it in a different level than us. And I think as women of faith, raising families, you know, I think Christmas is one of the hardest ones to kind of, I don't want to say fight against, but like Santa is such a complicated thing. And instead of, you know, at least for me, like instead of trying to fight against it, like, okay, Santa, we got this thing, but then there's all these other things. And if we can make them just as enticing and exciting and life-giving to kids, then they don't have to fixate completely on this idea of Santa and getting gifts from Santa and like, you know, blow it out of proportion because it's like the one, like they're going to get the prize, you know? Yeah. And I think that there's so many opportunities for us in kind of natural ways to like bring excitement, you know? And I think that kids, they really do latch onto it. I don't know, at least my girls, like they, if I just say we're going to do a fun activity, man is like,
the crowd goes wild.
Yeah. My gosh. Yeah. And it could be the same thing. It could be just like getting out the markers that I had put away, you know, but they live for that. And I think it is such a good, life can in a lot of ways become monotonous if we let it. And, you know, we've had COVID for a week and it has been a long week and we've all been stuck in the house and, you know, it's been crazy. And I notice myself like, oh my gosh, another day, got to do the same thing today.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we go back to your opening? Like, how do we bring joy into the everyday when a lot of times it's like making lunch again, getting them to school again, you know, doing another bedtime routine, all of those things that, for me, at least it can be as much for me as it is my kids.
Yeah, I get that 100%. I really do think that this could be for anybody.
Yes.
I really don't want people to write this off.
Yeah.
That like, this is too hard or too complicated or whatever. Like, I really want you to hear like, you too could be a Pinterest mom. Like you really can. It really is easier. And here's why. Because I have found that whenever I embrace an activity or I show up with something to do, the home is easier. People are happier. Mm-hmm. There's people occupied. I can drink hot coffee. When you aren't a Pinterest, or on the days where I'm like, I don't know, like leftover pizza for breakfast, I don't know, are the harder days for me for some reason. Because I don't have anything planned. I don't know how to show up. I feel a little bit lost in my purpose, which is the invitation for the enemy to start whispering those lies about who I am and who God's not kind of thing. And I just feel like as moms, being able to be prepared, at least with something in our back pocket, not every day, but just an idea for those moments where you're like, we need a reset. It sounds like this takes a lot of effort, and maybe it does, but the hardest part is starting. And then once you show up, you realize, actually, I think I could do this again. At least that's what it was for me, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to speak that hope to someone listening that's like, I'm not cut out for this. Be like, and that's the reason why you are. You know, and that's like, exactly. Just show up. The hardest part working out is putting on your running shoes, getting out the door. So, same here. I just want to speak that hope to someone listening that's just like, this is so cute. I could never, like you can.
And I think too, one of the things that I really wanted to emphasize in the book was that it's not just for moms either. You know, I think so much of, like I look back now and getting married at 30 was not that late. But at the time it felt really late because so many of my friends around me were married with kids. And I was like, I don't have this in my life. And I realized as I was leaning into it, I was like, I would have loved this as a single person when I actually had time to do things myself. So in the book, it's not just like kid crafts. There's some like adult, like you could not do it with a kid. Because I think leaning into the seasons is not just for children and families. Our faith is made for everyone. And so, and I think that when I was single, those were the times that were really hard. The time of waiting is really hard. And you're waiting for these things that you think like, oh, life will begin at that time. You know, once I have a family or once, and then you have a kids and you're like, oh my gosh, I have no time for anything. I can't even, I just shower for the first time in 5 days. And I think that if we, you know, learning like what Advent teaches us about waiting and hope is something that we need so often when we want, or if someone is experiencing infertility and they think like, if I had kids, then I would be able to do this. But what does it teach us? What do we have to learn in every season that we're in, that looks different, you know? And I think that, there's so much richness for all of us, even outside of kids. Like we all need things that, are exciting. And, you know, part of my story is that I got sober. I just celebrated my 10-year sobriety
birthday. Yes, that's huge.
Weekend. It's big. And I think, you know, I needed things to like occupy my time, or which seems silly, right? But like that is when I was turning to alcohol, when I was full of anxiety and I didn't know how to cope with life and doing. For me, I know not everyone is artsy, but what I can speak to my own experience was finding something that brought me joy in doing and learning a new craft. For me, it was learning like things to do with my hands. And for some people it's running or, you know, I don't know what other people like to do. but I think that it, you know, there's something so rich in it, and I wished I had had something like it when I was living that experience. And so I think, you know, or people who are maybe on the other side of it and their kids are out of the home and they have their evenings free. Like, what do you do? How do you bring excitement? How do you bring joy into your life? And, you know, I think those are like so many friends who are a little ahead of me on the mothering journey of teaching me to like find the things that when I was a kid that I loved to do. I loved to craft as a kid. And over time you kind of let go of those things. And so how do we as women, even though our lives are so full in other ways, maybe as moms, how can we come back to ourselves and let God speak to us through that, through those things that like brought us joy as children, you know?
I'm so glad you said that. And it's funny because I think that because my day is full of diaper pails and cribs and laundry, like of little socks, sometimes it's hard for me to see out of it. So thank you for bringing perspective that this is for everybody. And I think that was also a conviction for me where it's like, Rachel, you can celebrate this apart from your children. Like this is also an intentional walk with Jesus that really at the end of the day is just you and him. And knowing like these activities can be just for me, and throwing the candle in the muffin could be just for me too. like after the kids go to bed.
Yeah.
And that this is a beautiful practice apart from the performance, the responsibility, the to-do list. Like this is an opportunity, and the kindness that we're even allowed to celebrate these things openly, like huge, right? And so I think this is such a good conversation, yes, for more than just motherhood. Like this goes beyond into singleness or marriage or with your spouse or just for your own, with your friends, with your book club, with your small right. group. Like there's so many ways to do this and approach this. So I'm so glad you said that. What is something that you feel like, I don't know, I love to ask about stories that come out of moments where you were able to embrace it. Like, have you started seeing your kids ask questions? Have you seen a turn in your own heart? Have you and your husband have fruitful conversations because of these things? Like maybe the success stories. Just yeah. kidding. But like what can happen if someone leans in to the richness of a like celebratory calendar yeah. from the church?
I mean, I'm thinking of two stories with my daughter. She's 3 and a half. She'll be 4 in the beginning of the year. And my husband is not, I'm Catholic. My husband is not Catholic. He grew up in the Methodist church. And then we met through Alcoholics Anonymous, like through some friends. So we had this basis of God, but our practices look different. Sure. And so, you know, you kind of don't know when you get married what that's going to look like living it in the day to day. And we talk a lot about like, how do we pass on the personal relationship with God to our kids? Like, how do we open them to this concept that God exists? And so, at least in, I'll go back to what I kind of see around me. And so many people say that men are the spiritual leaders of the family. And for us, and I think a lot of families, when people are honest, women tend to be the ones kind of guiding this in their homes.
Sure.
And so that's true for us. And so my daughter, one day we were at mass and it was a priest's birthday, and we go to this small church and everyone, like they must have passed out cards. We were late because we're always late. They must have passed out cards. So everyone is writing cards.
We missed whatever happened at the beginning, but
and
story of my life.
At the end, they all put the cards in the basket. And Frances was like, "Well, where's our card?" I was like, "We don't have one." And she was like appalled. She couldn't believe I didn't have a birthday card for him. And we get in the car and she's like, "It was God's birthday and you did not bring a card." And I was like, what? Like, I was kind of confused at first. And then I realized like, oh, the priest to her is God. Like that is, she is now,
no
this
way.
Man That's is so God weird. For her. So then she goes home. We walk in the door to my husband and the baby had been sleeping. We have like one of those weird situations. He stays with the sleeping baby. I go to mass in the morning and she's like, "It was God's birthday. Mom didn't bring a card." And I was like, okay. And so then she's like, "Can we make a birthday cake for him?" And so then we made a birthday cake and we put up all the decorations, and it was all on her lead. Like she led this whole endeavor. And I was kind of like, it is God's birthday every day. Like God's made new every day. So we're going with this. And we sang happy birthday, and like she was so thrilled to have a birthday party, and she led it. And then a couple weeks later we had the bulletin in the car and she goes, "Mom, I see God in here." I was like, "Oh, show me." And she's like, "It's the picture of the priest." Now we're gonna have to work through like what that
theology. Like. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm like, we'll address that later. And then the other day, so then I had a party for the book. I had a launch party. And I invited a bunch of mom friends over. I think everyone was mom. And I did my thing, right? Like above and beyond all the things. And so I had pulled out all like a bunch of the craft things from the book from when we photographed it. And one of them, I had painted this crucifix. And I see her and she's hugging it. And she's like hugging this crucifix. And she's like, "I miss him." And I was like, "Who do you miss?" She was like, "I miss Jesus. But don't worry, I'm going to see him when I die." And I was like, okay, yes. And I'm like, where did she, like, I don't, yeah. That's not really one of the things I exactly talked to her about, because it's what I thought beyond her comprehension at three.
Sure, but she
picked it up. And then I realized right. she picked it up at church, because we say that, obviously. And like she could understand, as you were saying in the beginning, like kids can understand almost better than we can. Like just, oh, but don't worry, I'll see him again. Like no biggie. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, those are the things that they can really surprise you. Mm-hmm. And I realized in that, for me in that moment, like I don't have to do things perfectly. I don't have to like try to explain. I don't have to, I just have to journey with her, like through her own experience.
Yeah. That's so good.
In my own experience too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Oh, I have loved this conversation, because I, like I said at the beginning, I am all about a party. And so just having a reason to celebrate and get out the decorations and do the things are so fun. But sometimes we can sit in that like, but what are we celebrating? And so this book gives great context, like I said, roadmap, big list, big picture, fun ideas for people that are party people like us. And are just like, I know there's reason to celebrate. For sure. Like you said, we can celebrate God every day. He makes every day new. But why? What's the bigger picture? And maybe even like, what are the details that could be really fun to know as a believer? And this is that. So thank you for creating this. I know it's a labor of love.
Yes.
And I have one random shameless plug or not question for our friends that are listening.
Yes.
What is something, and this is going to be really fun because you're like, I feel like we're similar. What is something that you're loving these days that you have to share with our friends listening?
Ooh, gosh, I'm like in this COVID fog of, and it's Black Friday week coming up. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to figure out like, what is it that I need to buy, which is probably like not what one is supposed to do when you're like not trying to live this consumerist right. life. One thing that I've been loving, I just have to think, I'm like looking around my house. We just moved in.
It's always what people okay. do, right.
I will say one thing that I'm really loving. We got one of those robot vacuum things that does the mopping.
Yes. Are you loving it?
Yeah. Okay. Like you know, at first, and you have to remember to like put it on, which for someone like me, you know, I can forget to do that. But then you just leave it and it does the job for you.
I have a question though.
Okay.
About that. Does it see where you have rugs?
Yes. So I didn't, I wasn't sure because we had not, since we just moved in, we didn't have rugs yet. And so when we put down a rug, I watched it and it lifts up its like mop feet and it does this vacuuming. And like, even while it's mopping, I'm like, how did it get that much dirt off of all of this stuff? And so I don't know how it works.
Wait a second.
I do not understand, but it does lift up for the rug.
You will have to tell me the kind.
Yeah, so I'll can send link you it. The link. Please. I'm sure it's going to go like on Black Friday deal. So.
Oh yeah. All those techie things are like, you can always bet on them being on sale.
Exactly.
Oh man. Well, thank you so much just for your time and wisdom and ideas and resources. We're so grateful. And we want to be able to share this with all of our friends. So where can they find you, Erica Campbell, Be a Heart, Celebrate, all the things, like everything.
So on Instagram, my personal is Erica Ty Campbell, and Ty is spelled T-I-G-H-E, which is weird, but hopefully you can find me. And then Be a Heart Design is our Instagram, and beaheart.com is our website. I'm not sure when this is airing, so if we're coming up on all of our Black Friday deals.
Exciting.
But yes. If it's after, we can get a code or something that you can put in the show notes so that people
That'd
can
be
still
so
get
fun.
the discount.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of holiday stuff, all the things coming up here for Advent. So
all of it. It's perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Again, so
me.
Grateful to have you. You're a gem.
It was so nice to chat.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode with us. It would mean the most if you took 30 seconds and left us a 5-star review in whatever platform that you're listening in right now. It's one of the best and free ways that you can love on us. So don't forget that anything we mention in today's episode, from resources, products, and more, can all be found in our show notes at realtalkwithrachel.com. For more updates, behind the scenes, and fun chats, head over to Instagram and follow us at Real Talk Podcast.